Yo, what's really good, y'all? This is JK Baylor with Rugby Swag. We're back for a new show. A little bit late, but it's okay. We're here for you nonetheless. Yo, we got some great stories that are happening today. We're going to look at some of the scores from last week and what we got coming up this week. Of course, we're going to take a look at what is happening in Premiership Rugby. Is a team coming back? And are they coming back in the USA? We also have a big look into Jordy Barrett. Why did he end up going to Leinster versus any other place? And what does that mean for rugby? Yo, Squidge Rugby making his way back onto the video screen. They finally allowed him. And look at some of the initiatives and campaigns that are going to be going on in that are happening in rugby right now. They're just good to take a look at. Y'all, I hope you guys stay tuned. We got a great one coming in for you. But in the meantime, yo, let's hit this intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome to the Rugby Swag Show.
Welcome, welcome, y'all. This is Rugby Swag, the show where we talk about people and the things that are going on in rugby that impact us on a regular basis, y'all. My name is Gift Time Bailey, and of course, I'm here to be able to keep guiding through this process, but just to be able to enjoy the conversation and the time that we get to have, to be able to talk about the stuff that's going on in rugby from a time-to-time period, y'all. Like, it's wild out here. But before we get started, yo, I need you guys to please, if you get the chance, please, if you can, like, subscribe, and even throw a comment here on the channel. If you guys are catching us live, we're a little bit of a day late this time. It's just been a lot happening. But, you know, please go ahead. It helps us, and we appreciate all the interaction, engagement, conversation, and also allows us to be able to know what is the stories that you want to be able to hear, of course, of course. And then, also, y'all, if you guys don't catch us here on YouTube or at least on YouTube, you can check us out on social media. We're available at Rugby Swag on Instagram. And then, of course, we are available at Gift A Bailu on X, GIFTEGBELU. But for everything else, absolutely catch us at Gift Time with two T's Rugby on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitch. And if you really want to, you can do it off of X as well, too. But, you know, it all works the same. It all works the same. But that's not it for us, y'all. Of course, we want you guys to be able to share this with your friends. Let them know. Let them hear. Let them be able to understand and be caught up on what's going on in rugby so that you can be able to impress them with your stories so that they get more caught up. And they can also check us out on our audio platforms. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, Amazon Music, and basically any major audio podcast streaming platform. Definitely check us out. Definitely take a look. Definitely just get a watch. And it's just something to be able to go ahead and do, y'all. Just go ahead and do so we can be able to continue to build this out more and more. But, y'all, like I said, we got some great stories for y'all today. I got to actually say, man, I broke a 10-year streak this past weekend of not playing 15s. It has been exactly 10 years since I had to take time off from BR Rugby Club, so went straight media, but wasn't able to do any league games and definitely wasn't able to play any 15s games until this past weekend, which was great. We had a great one. Shout out Curitiba Rugby Club. Let's go. Toros, you know, had a great win, great run. It was nice to be back. Of course, it's not the first time I've played rugby. I've been playing rugby 10s, but obviously 10s is very different than 15s in most of the aspects. So getting a chance to be able to just do some normal 15s and not running across the field half as much, it was good to be back. It was good to be back, man. I can't lie. It was good to be back. And we got another game this weekend, so hopefully I'm able to get into it as well, too. This will be a good one. But, y'all, I don't want to take too much time to be able to take away from the stories. I want us to really jump into it. So, in the meantime, just hang tight. You got to take care of those that take care of us. But we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking a little bit of the scores and things that are scores and games that are going to be happening from this past weekend and this weekend coming up. Stay tuned. This is Gifted Bailey with Rugby Swag. Let's check it out.
I'm going to let you get back to the show in a moment, but I want to talk to you about our sponsors, Health Enhanced Foods, the best specialty flours in the business. What does that mean for you? That is the flours that allow you to be able to get the nutritious need from your bread made. That's muffins, bread, croissants, whatever, pancakes and muffins. It will give you the opportunity to be able to get the best while still being able to eat like you wanted to. We have various amounts of products available for those who have special dietary needs to those who are looking for a special health outcome. And of course, because they're part of the Rugby Swag Show, we want to let you know that you got a chance to go to healthenhancedfoods.com and use code Rugby Swag to be able to get 20% off your first order. Y'all, this is something that you're going to need. You got to build up, have your energy at the best, be the maximum. It's 2024. Let's do the best. But now, I want you guys to get into it. Let's get back to the show.
Oh, let's get into this. All right, man. We got to put on our music for games. Let's go. All right, y'all. We got our first one. And you know what? This has been a good week for games. We didn't get a chance to get it. This past weekend, we had round four of the Women's Six Nations, man. England absolutely slaughtered. I don't even know what to call it, dominated. It was a slaughtering. It was an absolute catastrophe. This was damn near, you know, kind of dealing myself with cancer, man. England defeated Ireland 28-10. Demolished it, man. Very hard. I feel for Ireland. There was, you know what, at least in a situation like this, there's never a question of could you win or what could you have done different. You literally were completely outmatched, overproduced, and honestly, right now we're looking at England being probably the best women's team in Europe, depending on what happens this weekend. We'll get to that. We had Italy fall to Scotland 17-10, and then we had France absolutely holding down and punching Wales 40-0. Just why are you hating yourself? Straight bullying Wales. Like, poor Wales, man. Wales is just out here trying to be able to live. They're trying to just get these folks back, looking at days of glory past, and they're just absolutely the punching bag. They're that nerd from the 80s bully that gets dropped by the locker, and you just don't feel for them, but there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Everybody's just a bully to them. And then, you know, it gets wild. We're sticking to the 80s, not the 90s. Looking at the game that we got coming up for this upcoming weekend, Women's Six Nations. Wales is going to be taking on Italy. This is the battle, final round, Wales versus Italy. Italy's got one win on the season. Honestly, Wales is not safe. They're not doing it. So I look for Italy to be able to win this one. I think they're going to win this one big by 28-0 in this one. I don't know if Wales has anything left inside them to do anything. Next, Ireland is going to be taking on Scotland to be able to kind of see if it can get themselves back. Nice little country rivalry going on. Even though Ireland absolutely got mollywopped, and even though Scotland technically has more wins under their belt, I still think Scotland is going to win. I don't know where I was going to go with this. But Ireland 15 is just, for women, is not as forward as the women's sevens and obviously men's 15s and then sevens. Scotland, I think, is just a better place. This is a more powerful team. I think they're going to actually do a lot more. So, Scotland to win this one, I think it's going to be close to them because I think this is a good rivalry. I think this is going to be a 22-17 match of Scotland over Ireland. But the game that is truly the game of the week, and I think this is actually the game of the week in all rugby right now, is going to be England taking on France. All right. I think with this game, I think this is one that it is going to determine literally where the direction of their respective programs go, more so for England than it is for France. England has undoubtedly shown that they are by far the most dominant. And some would put it as number one and two, respectively, for their in the world, the women's rugby. I think England, it might be England and New Zealand, especially in teams, and then everybody else kind of matriculates underneath that. But this France team has been formidable, and this France team is incredibly powerful. And this France team has still done a lot of work. They've been able to wipe through their competition as much as anybody else. They're only a point behind. Now, mind you, like I said, England has absolutely dominated. Emily Skerritt had returned back last week. And if you don't know Emily Skerritt was a beast in 17. She was a beast in 15. She took some time off. And then it looks like she's coming back. This is like a Ruffle return kind of thing. Like, this is a legit one. I do think that this is going to be a very, very close game. I don't think England is going to have as much of a pushover as they've had for the other four, basically, rounds that they've been into. I look at England to really take this one down. But I do think, like I said, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be the hardest-hitting game, probably, in women's rugby. But look at England to eat this one out. 35-33, I think it's going to be a last-minute tie. 35-33, England taking the win on this one. Look, France is going to, whatever this fight is going to be, I think France will cover. But I do think England wins and ends up winning the women's six-day and get the first treatment. All right, next up, we got MLR Skulls, y'all. MLR Skulls. Seattle Seawolves beating New England 29-21. Miami Sharks absolutely upset and dominated New Orleans on the road. 42-27, an absolutely disturbing loss. And New Orleans coming off so hot, and I don't know what's going on with their cold wing, but they got to get themselves back. It's been a three-game losing streak. This is not something that should be happening. But especially the Miami Sharks, who I do not think is a good team. I think they're a talented team. I think they're getting their stuff together. There's no reason for them to have lost. So to be winning, especially dominating like that. The Houston Sabercats defeated Old Glory 38-17. Not the biggest surprise in the world. Chicago Hounds destroyed LA 54-31. Again, a game expected. Chicago has been a team that has been slowly increasing, slowly building up, slowly getting their rhythm together, and they've always been a talented team. They're a very talented team to begin with, but again, the culture of winning hadn't been that. But right now, Chicago is sitting number two in the East, and I got to give you credit. Give credit where credit is due. And then lastly, Utah Warriors in a huge comeback defeat San Diego 33-32. San Diego was definitely the favorite. Utah Warriors showing what it means on the road to be an absolute warrior. So give them the credit where credit is absolutely due for them to be able to slide through. All right, this week we got a couple more games. Utah Warriors are going to be protecting their house versus Old Glory. Look, Old Glory, I did not really do well on this. Old Glory has been slipping. Ever since they beat the Free Jacks, it feels like they peaked out at that game, and they just have not been back to form since. I don't see Old Glory traveling all the way to Utah to be able to give a really great competition. I think Utah is going to win this one easily, 35-15. I don't know what's going on with Old Glory. They got to get their stuff straight. New Orleans Gold take on the Anthem. Look, New Orleans Gold scores less than 50 points. I think it's really good. Anthem are just, right now, they're the worst team in club rugby in the world. Worst team in club rugby, professional club rugby in the world. They're a starting team, they're a young team, they're an inexperienced team. Just you can't expect. But the key is winning by scoring at least 50 points on them. That is. And you got to keep them under 30. That's the campaign in this. It's not going to mean that New Orleans is better, but you got to get yourself back in rhythm. Miami gets his play back home against the Dallas Dazzlers. Big win by Miami last week against New Orleans Gold. But I think the Dallas Dazzlers are fighting for team. They're not going to let the same mistakes happen. A lot of good confidence come out of that Miami Sharks game last week, but I don't think they're still ready for it. I think Dallas will come, coming off for a bye week, come through and show out, winning this one 24-10 against the Miami Sharks. We got San Diego taking on Houston SaberCats on the road. Houston SaberCats have been absolutely killing it. Perfect. Number one, I think that they're the dark horse. I think that they're the favorites to win the championship this year. Obviously, they're going to have to rectify themselves. But the fact that over the last 2-3 years, SaberCats have been able to find their rhythm and grow and get better and become more dominant and put them together. This is championship team, the main team. San Diego obviously lost the close one against Utah, but they really clobbered up the first half. I think San Diego's going to lose this one. Houston SaberCats are just too strong, too dominant, and especially at home in Houston. Nah, man, Houston about to take this one. In May, in late April, beginning of May, man, Houston's about to take this one. I think this is going to be a dominating win, 42-24, Houston SaberCats over San Diego Legion. And then lastly, we got RFC Los Angeles at home against New England Jacks. Obviously, Los Angeles lost a big one against Chicago last week. New England lost an important one against Seattle last week. But I do think that when it all comes down to it, even though Los Angeles is at home, they're continuing to not be a good team. They're still trying to find their way. The culture hasn't been set. It takes a minute to get there, even if you have all the talent in the world. New England has a lot to prove, and especially as defending champion, especially losing already on against the Seattle team, they got to come back on this one. I think New England wins this game 25-5 against Los Angeles, really trying to rectify the fact that they jacked up the Seattle game, you know, get their ish together, all right? All right, we look at British rugby. Let's go down to sports. Saracens defeated Gloucester 46-24. Northampton Thieves defeated Leicester Tigers 40-17. Exeter Chiefs defeated Bath 14. Exeter Chiefs lost to Bath 26-14. As Sales Sharks defeated the Harlequins 37-31. And the Bristol Bears absolutely mutilated, annihilated, and slightly genocidically destroyed the Newcastle Falcons 85-14, even though it's been 88-14, but I guess the official score was 85-14, give or take. Absolutely disgusting. But that being said, nothing too surprising in this. This was basically where it was supposed to go, anyways. This week, we got games Bath versus Saracen. Bath are getting Tim Russell back, but I do think Saracens end up winning this one. I think Saracens are picking up their speed over Bath. Harlequins versus Northampton. Again, Harlequins lost one. Northampton is just a top team. Northampton can take this one. I don't even care about the score. That one will be a blowout. Gloucester versus Exeter. Both kind of suck, to say the least. They both kind of suck. So when it comes down to it, I do feel like probably the Chiefs will end up taking this one. I think they're just slightly better than Gloucester. Even though the standings say otherwise, I think they're slightly better than Gloucester. Look at Exeter to win this one on the road. Gloucester versus Bristol. Bristol Bears get a big win from last week. That's going to be a game that can actually really mess you up because it makes you believe you're better than you really are. Even though Bristol Bears are fourth in standing, Leicester is struggling, but they are not one, especially after losing last week. I look for the Bristol Bears to still eke this one out very, 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 very difficultly in the second half. Look for Bristol Bears to win this one 35. Look at Leicester at 35-25. I think Bristol ekes this one out. And then lastly, Newcastle versus Sharp versus Sale. Newcastle sucks. I mean, Newcastle is horrific. Horrific. Owens is horrific this year, all right? Anthem is the worst team, and I think the Kentucky Liners might be the second worst team, but I believe that probably the Newcastle Falcons might be the maybe fourth worst team. I actually think that there's more MLR team that is actually much better. But I think Newcastle might be the worst or fourth worst team in the world in professional rugby. And I'd put third worst probably is, I guess, right now, Los Angeles. Probably Los Angeles. But, no. Newcastle, it was the West, of course, until this past weekend, which is where we get to next in Super Rugby Pacifica. The Fijian Drua lost to the Hurricanes 38-16. Nothing surprising about that. Highlanders dropped one to the Reds 31-0. Again, a big loss, but again, the Reds really are a better team. Highlanders are really flopping around on this one. The Blues absolutely annihilate the Brumbies 46-7, kind of rectifying what was a stupid loss for them. Not this past week, but the week before. The week before against the. The Blues had the loss. The Blues have a loss on this. Yeah. The Blues lost to the Crusaders. That was. I feel like that rectified the Crusaders. And then Western Force. Well, it's not an upset. The Crusaders are horrific. Defeat the Crusaders 37-15, which I honestly, that makes me laugh. Crusaders are so good. That history of that team has so much winning. The way that they were losing that bad is wild. All right. And I don't know if I said the Blues, Brumbies, 46-7 against the Blues. But, all right. This week, we got Crusaders going up against the Rebels. Crusaders are going to lose. Crusaders are terrible. I don't know what's going on with them. It's almost like they're getting the New England Patriots situation where everybody left and now 20 years of dominance is about to come to the head. Look at the Rebels win this one. I don't have a score for this. Chiefs go up against the Waratahs. Chiefs are going to end up winning this one. I think this will be a close one, 17-10. I'll give the Rebels Crusaders one, 35-7. Rebels over Crusaders. 17-10 Chiefs over Waratahs. Seeing Drua take on the Moana Pacifica. Drua at home, except against the top team, which is the Hurricanes, are absolutely dominant. Absolutely dominant. Look for the Drua to absolutely dominate this game. 46-32. And that Moana Pacifica team will get the 32, but it'll be that, you know, what do they call it? Dead ball scores, like, not anything game changing, but, you know, good enough for a rivalry. Moana, Hurricane take on the Brumbies. I will say it again. Obviously, the Hurricanes are the best team. Brumbies are coming off loss of the Hurricanes in this one. Highlanders versus the Western Force. Again, shocking that the Force beat the Crusaders just by tradition and history. But Highlanders are pretty bad. And you know what? I think the Western Force are going to have enough of a confidence boost from beating such a bully to them for so many years. I think this will be a close one. 10, I'll put this, not 10-5, too close, but probably 20-17 Western Force over the Highlanders. And then lastly, we got the Blues versus the Reds. Two great teams doing their thing. But the Blues are going to end up winning this one. I think this would be a 35-20 game. Blues over the Reds. All right, y'all. That is all we got for scores and games coming up this week. Yo, we're going to talk coming up next. What is happening in Premiership Rugby? And is one of the teams possibly coming to the U.S.? We'll be right back after these commercials. We're going to talk a little bit about that soon.
Buckwheat is changing lives. My name is Gifted Bailu. I'm here with Health Enhanced Foods, and I want to tell you about one of my favorite products on our shelves, Buckwheat Baking Mix. Buckwheat is a seed that is incredibly nutrient and protein dense. But what makes it even more important,
that buckwheat baking mix
is absolutely gluten-free. A lot of times whenever people have buckwheat mixes, they actually even hold wheat inside of it. So you know it's not fully gluten. And if you're a person that is celiac or diabetic, or you're just really trying to be health conscious, it's not something that you want to have to worry about. What makes our buckwheat baking mix even more important is that it is versatile. You can use it for pancakes. You can use it for waffles. You can use it for making loaves of bread. You can make it for cupcakes. But what helps even more is that it is allergen-free. It is nut-free. It is dairy-free. That there is no additional additives in it. There's no leavening there, so that if you want to be able to raise your bread, you can put in the baking powder yourself and get it fluffy. If you don't, you absolutely do not have to. You get the bread that you love without the cost to your health. You can absolutely find buckwheat baking mix at healthenhancedfoods.com. Absolutely check it out. Get your nostalgia back. Get back to eating and loving the way that you are, and absolutely get back to the energy that you know that you can get without having to destroy yourself. I'm looking forward to seeing you get it. Let's go.
All right, y'all, we are back. You look, man, there's some big news that is going on and could be game changer. It looks like there's some talks about the Wasp Rugby Club coming back. Now, for those who don't know, because we got people from all ranges and understandings and whatnot, the Wasp Rugby is a former Premiership rugby team. It's one of the oldest teams in England, one of the oldest teams in history, 158 years old. But despite all that, they have not been able to be in existence for the last couple of years. Back in October of 2022, they eventually ran out of money. They went broke and eventually went into what they call administration, which is basically, you know, they went bankrupt. They went bankrupt. It's a fancy way of saying they went bankrupt. And it basically had to shut down the whole club. And this one was at a time when we lost Worcester Warriors, London Irish, and then it was the Wasp Rugby Club. But there's been talks where it's interesting that they might be able to come back. They might be able to do a little something. And the talks are coming from a former player known as Kenny Logan. Kenny Logan is a former player. He used to play for a series of professional teams, including Glasgow Warriors, Stirlington County RFC, and then subsequently and Scotland International team. Well, it looks like he's trying to be able to bring this team back, and it looks like they are possibly looking at Major League Rugby as a place to be able to bring them through. Now, when I first heard it, I thought it was utter BS. You know, shout out Planet Rugby for being able to put out the story. I thought it was utter BS. Apparently, it's something in the cough. Now, the conversation is more so about them being able to come back and being able to actually have a real plan to do it. I think there is a need, and I think there is obviously within the community a very huge disheartening loss when it comes to losing something, a club that has been such a prominent era for, what is that, almost six generations of people, five generations of people, give or take. Like, that is a huge, huge problem to lose. But the fact of the matter that they still haven't figured out, obviously, fully their financial situation and being able to figure out how they can be able to establish themselves as a viable club moving forward, I do think that is in and of itself. But the potential of playing in other places, like I think they talked about playing in the URC, possibly playing in the MLR, and I don't know, even the idea of them coming back to Premiership Rugby. I think all of it is hilarious. I would love to see them in the MLR. I would think it would be financial ruin for the league and for the club, because it would not establish a factor of them being able to make money consistently. And obviously the MLR has its own financial issues as well. But, you know, the travel would be interesting, and it would be like a nice kind of thing that NFL's trying to do with, you know, trying to do international games. Yeah, let's tweak up the engine of the MLR and bring in some former Premiership Rugby League. And this is the domination of the industry that I like to see. But I don't think it would be a great idea, though. Obviously, financially, it wouldn't be a great idea. From a travel standpoint, it would be a horrific idea. But, you know, entertainment-wise, I think it would be great. One thing that they did say, and I do like that they were talking about this, is that with Kenny Logan was saying that one thing that they really need to make sure they do if they want to be able to come back is that they need to have their own grounds, their own training grounds, their own facilities. They need to be able to make money from it and build a business. They need to be able to build an arena rugby, an arena that rugby can be played in, but can also do multiple things. This is something that has been really talked about multiple times over on this show. My guy Mick Feely has really brought that to the fold of one of the things that makes other professional sports team actually financially viable is that when you own your location, it's the multiple usage and multiple streams of income that can come from it. And obviously, as of now, probably with a team like the Wasps, they were renting probably from the city and limited in exactly how much they could expand. You can obviously play rugby. You can obviously sell concessions. But after that, like, what do you do with the field? What do you do with the team? What revenue do you also make? Sponsorships obviously can do so much. But again, you need to be able to have it. This is why things like the NBA and New York Knicks owner is able to have both Madison Square Garden as well as the Las Vegas arena at the same time because they make money off of the stadium. One of the teams in the MLR that I think is absolutely top notch for having done this. And this is what makes me believe that they're a team that regardless of whatever happens, they're going to be able to be in place is the Houston Sabercats because they built their own stadium. So the owners have full control on it for both league games and non-league games that occur on the pitch, whether soccer, football, whatever. Even equivalent to that, you know, talk about this for the NFL where, you know, all the owners own their stadium, even though they're partially paid for by or completely paid for by the cities themselves. But the additional advantage for that is the fact that they can sell off to other places. So having that be a focal point for recreating an actual business model that works is something that I think is legitimately important and is very, very good to hear. Now the catch-22 for them is where's the space? Obviously, in a place like in London and whatnot, like there's not exactly a plethora of space for stadiums and arenas. And so it's the reason why there's so many shared elements to it. But, and, you know, Scott, you know, you put it in the right area, maybe take it up to Northern England. You know, maybe there's a lot more space. It might take it out of the community a little bit. I don't know how everything works because, you know, travel. I don't know England travel like that. Knowing that an hour can be a huge change versus an hour in the States or here in Brazil is very insignificant in timing can play into how that community is able to support. But if you're able to control your arena, yo, I think this is something that needs to be done. And it's a conversation that should be had across board for as many rugby clubs, especially professional rugby clubs, as possible. But obviously that's very financially tasking. But I do love the fact that the Wasp are legitimately thinking about going to the MLR. Like there's a possibility if they can get their ish together. So let me know what you guys think. Let me know in the comments. Like, yo, do you feel like this is a good idea for a league like the MLR to be able to bring in Wasp? We already bring in former players from other leagues. Why not bring in a former team from another league as well too? Or do you feel like the Wasps should resettle back into the Premiership Rugby or find themselves in the URC where they can continue to build in their own backyard and maybe have better opportunity? I want to know what you guys are thinking on that one, y'all. Let me know what you guys are thinking on it. All right, y'all. We're going to be right back. We got another set of ads, but Yo, let's talk about what happened with the Jordy Barrett story. We didn't get to talk about it last week, but I think this is really interesting, and there had been a lot of discourse that has been going on against this. So stay tuned. We're going to be back talking Jordy Barrett and why he went to Leinster.
There's wheat flour that you can eat. My name is Gift Time at Baylor. I'm here with Health Enhanced Foods. And I want to tell you about one of our best and most beloved products, our sweet white wheat baking mix. Now, this is the baking mix for those who are not really looking for something that's gluten-free, but they are looking for something that they can eat that is going to still be healthy and is not going to be dangerous. White flour is typically a very processed, incredibly bleached flour, and it's not good for you. It's incredibly cheap for a reason. Our sweet white wheat bread mix is whole grain, dairy-free, high in dietary fiber, free of additives, and is absolutely unprocessed and unrefined. With our sweet white wheat bread mix, you can feel like you're getting all the same rewards that you would get from poor white bread, but with all the nutritional value. You're able to still make your bread loaves or your cakes, your flat bread or your cookies. But you don't have to feel like you are going to be robbing yourself of good carbohydrates. You can get the sweet white wheat bread mix from healthenhancedfoods.com. Absolutely go impress your friends and family with the greatest bread while not making them feel like they have to be gluten-free at the same time. No dangers, full body pleasures. Go ahead and get yours today. Let's go.
All right, y'all. We are back. We're back. All right. You guys didn't know. A couple weeks ago, one of the biggest news happened in rugby where All Black star and one of the famously known Barrett. Well, yeah. Jody Barrett. Look, Jody Barrett, All Black, decided to be able to get lent over to Leinster, one of the most powerful teams in the URC. Coming out of Ireland for about 6 months to be able to play over there. And the whole world in rugby went nuts. What craziness? Yo, an All Black, and not just like a former All Black, not just like a back-end All Black, not, you know, guy on his retirement or a low-end person, a premium current player, All Black, actively is going to be going to Leinster on Lend. And it's mind-blowing. Now, everybody started losing their mind with it, mainly because of the fact they're like, oh, my God, he's just going for the money. He's just going out there to Joe get some money. And honestly, that discourse was, like, legitimately dumb. Like, it's legitimately dumb. One, what's wrong with going to get money? Yo, you're betting pit. You're already playing professionally. And, you know, currently he plays for the Hurricanes, which are the best club in Super Rugby. I think arguably amongst the best clubs in the world. I think Leinster and Hurricanes are one and two at this. But I don't know which one is which. But, you know, this is a guy who's like, he's still in it. He's still young, 27. You know, oh, yeah, he's part of the Barrett brothers. Yeah, the famous Barrett brothers. That's I wanted to make sure I had that right because I wasn't sure. Like, that's Bowden Barrett, Scott Barrett, Kane Barrett, Blake Barrett, and Bowden Barrett and Scott and Blake Barrett primarily. But these guys have been really in it. So for him to go to Leinster, which Ireland just, yo, you're already powerful. Like, how much more powerful can you get is a legitimate move. And even if it was for money. But this week, he spoke on it a little bit more on what it is that he was actually looking for. And of course, money was an important element that came along with it. There was no doubt. He did absolutely say that. But this was the interesting component of it. Hurricane CEO Avon Lee said that he actually could have made more money in Japan than he would be making in Leinster. And if you guys don't know, Japan Rugby League One has been a primary spot for most of, like, the South Pacific rugby players to go play either on the twilight of their career or, you know, if they want to be able to really make something, you know, during national play. And Japan Rugby League One is a fun league. It's a fun league, but it's primarily thought of as the softer one. So people really kind of get a vacation and be able to make money from it. One of the people that we've had on the show, my guy, Eddie Evans, used to play for Japan way back in the 90s and And, you know, it is a place where a lot of money has gone, a lot of commerce has gone, and professional rugby probably has the best business model, even though it doesn't have the best rugby, ironically. So a lot of talk about whether he was just going for the money to Leinster kind of got a little bit refuted from what Avon Lee said. So the other factor that Jordy said was the fact that he really wanted to have a chance to develop his experiences. And I think that's really significant coming from the fact that, one, he's obviously in New Zealand, a place that rugby is religion, and a place that has been preeminently set as the mecca of rugby. So for him to go from the Hurricanes, the best professional team in rugby, and the All Blacks, the best or one of the best historically team all time and amongst the top two in rugby right now, you know, you are looking to be able to go to a place like Leinster, which means he also plays South Africa, which they're used to playing, but plays the gauntlet of URC. That to be able to say, hey, I want to be able to take a little bit more knowledge and see what I can bring back and improve upon instead of trying to get for a paid vacation, as they basically call it for Japan Rugby League One, is a really interesting and a good way to be able to go about looking at it. And I think that people should support this more. And honestly, I think that as a rugby community, having these lendings more, which is very prominent in like Premiership football, and in most soccer stuff, and I'm gonna call it soccer because strong American. But it's not really very well prominent inside rugby, and not so much obviously in many other sports. But I do like it for rugby because, one, it allows us to have cross community stories where a star in one element can become a star in another element, and that can be able to help build on both of them. I would love to see this more with U.S. players. Obviously, we got some U.S. players that play in Premiership rugby and they come for national games. But to be able to play in professional leagues and get good players, not just players off the, you know, dropping off or players that weren't able to make it in the other leagues, but really get good players for a moment, you know, maybe a season, half a season, something like that, I think it would be really, really strong for creating better stories, creating better stars, and allowing the community in front to be able to connect to two clubs at the same time, especially if you get to like that one player. It's like, oh, they were dope. They're cool to talk to, yada, yada. Oh, now I'm going to follow them over here, but I also got my team over here that I'm also backing into. And now you have a better distribution of attention that can go to it, and it helps build that fan base more and more. And it makes us actually give a crap, especially in the U.S., because we don't give a crap about anybody outside the U.S. typically, especially in rugby, unless you've provided some level of value to us in the U.S. Like, you provide the value. Now, obviously, Jordy is going to Ireland, and obviously the constitution of the rugby community and the viewership between Ireland and Western Europe and the South Pacific is different than it is with the U.S. and the Americas and basically every other part of the world. But still, the concept is still something that I think is the same. And I hope that this sets a precedent for others to try and do it at the peak of their powers, and that some of the egos of the owners aren't so heavy to prevent it. Because, you know what, honestly, it sometimes makes me even question, like, why would they even have a problem with it? We look at something like the URC, right? And they had the European Guinness champion, the European Championship. Like, we're looking at teams like France from top 14 that don't send their best players for that. Or we looked at a big issue was the Blues playing against, I think it was Leinster or Northampton or whatever a few weeks ago, and sending their C team up there, or Leinster now going down to South Africa and they sent their C team. So in conversations, it doesn't seem like there's that huge element of like, oh, we need to have our best players so that we can win. Well, if you're not worried about having your best players and it's only just about the team, then lend them out. build, let them build their stardom across the board and then bring them back and be able to make your money off of that. And can be another means of being able to create a revenue source for yourself and jump along with it. So I don't know. It's just one element where, like I said, it makes me go, this needs to be copied, but I need you guys to be consistent in what you want from your stars and exactly how you want them to be displayed, because how that goes allows the success of this concept to be able to provide on. But that's my thoughts, man. Let me know what you guys think. What do you think about this Jordy Barrett move and his reasonings for it? I know that the move has been in conversations for a minute, but his reasonings behind it, what do you think that means for rugby as a whole and its ability to be able to build out? I want to know more. Let me know in the comments. All right, next up. Yo, I think this one was a story that we talked about way back in November. This one was one of the biggest stories that I received on my channel to date. And it was what happened to Squidge Rugby and World Rugby's consistent censorship of anybody else promoting them, right? And it really came to head whenever Squidge was going to do the summation of South Africa's win in the 2023 Rugby World Cup final. Now, if you guys don't know who Squidge Rugby is, you can actually check out his interview here. We're probably going to do a re-release and clean up the audio a little bit more. But it was a great interview with him from a couple years back. Definitely check out gifttimerugby.com and search Squidge Rugby to be able to hear that full interview. But if you, Squidge Rugby is well known for creating some of the best informative entertainment explanations of rugby teams and the competitions and the results and why they ended up the way that they did and what led up to it and breakdown. It's very unique, not very talking head, but really just visual and voiceover. And probably one of the biggest creators in rugby at this point. But his video that had been, his videos do numbers. His videos make it easy for people to understand rugby, especially at the international level, whenever you don't have a lot of information that goes along with it. They're very detailed and they're very concise. But when World Rugby was censoring content because they didn't want anybody outside of themselves and their partners who didn't post anything to be able to post videos everywhere, It created they put a tag on that South Africa video and it was not able to be up. It was blocked out and could not be put up. But Squidge was finally able to get it up finally. I think this was a huge, huge deal. I think World Rugby still is significantly wrong. And I hate the fact that it took basically 7 months for it to be able to get done. We're talking December. End of November. So, beginning of November. So November, December, January, February, March, April, May. 7 months, basically, to be able to get it done. 6.75 months. And that's ridiculous, because this would have been a great thing to be able to use as a boost for promotion. And it goes back again to conversations that we've had with what is World Rugby trying to do. So allowing this, big congrats, guys. Definitely check it out. I think it's a 40 minute video. It's huge, but it's really concise, really interesting. And I think it's something that should absolutely be used as a standard for telling World Rugby to back off of trying to prevent other people from sharing the content. You're not making money on clips. You make money on viewership. You make money on ticket sales. You make money on TV deals. If you are not getting viewership, you can't get TV deals. And if you're not getting good TV deals, it's hard to get sponsorships. So let people do work for you without you having to pay for it, man. It's saving you time. And even the irony that World Rugby has worked with Squidge in the past made this even stupider. So shout out Squidge. Shout out to everybody that's getting to enjoy it. And shout out South Africa for once again being able to go back and enjoy the beautiful win that they got in the Rugby World Cup to get back-to-back ones again. Man, shout out to them. All right, y'all. We're gonna be right back. We got just final stories. Gonna be looking at to some rugby businesses and initiatives that are happening now. But stay tuned. We'll talk about it in a moment. This is Gift A Bailu Rugby Swag. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is just the Bray Train sending out a personal little video diary to all you people out there, where I am going to document me riding most of the way between Singapore and Tokyo for the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
I needed help, and it came from Louisiana.
We in Singapore, baby!
Gift from Gift Time Rugby USA is an extroverted tour de force. But what unites us is a hunger for adventure.
Off to KL, Kuala Lumpur.
Gift, where are we?
We're in Vietnam!
Morning, Vietnam!
Mount Fuji, baby!
Our love of Asian rugby culture.
One, two, three, center!
Yeah! Rugby is starting to develop here in Cambodia for women as well.
We're out here, we're running out of energy, we're running out of money, and we're feeling isolated. And yet at that critical moment, friends, family, sometimes complete strangers come on board. Before you know it, we're back in the game.
Tokyo, here we come!
Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. Watch the full adventure at crugby.vhx.tv. That's C like S-E-E rugby.vhx.tv. Hi, y'all. Welcome back. So, you know, I always like to obviously talk about a lot of things that are happening in rugby and happening around the world and yada, yada, yada. But sometimes there's just smaller things that might not be as game-changing, impactful as, you know, that shift the entire rugby community in a major way. But sometimes, you know, it's just things that are small that are great community stuff. And I found this article. Actually, I didn't find it. That's a lie. A friend of mine sent me this article about a rugby pub that's happening in San Francisco called Up and Under Pub and Grill. Obviously, this isn't, we ain't doing any promotion. They didn't pay us, but I thought this was dope. That is what they call America's first proper rugby pub. Now, you know, I might think that there might be some arguments against this concept. I know I got some guys in New Orleans who have literally the bar called the Rugby Pub that has been the central bar for the New Orleans Rugby Club for ages. It is a public pub and is available for all. But you know what? Again, I love a good tagline, but it seems like this was one that was built up to actually just feature rugby fully. The guy really makes it a proper initiative to say that it's not a pub. No, it's not a bar. It's not a sports bar. It's a rugby pub. And the owner of this place Up and Under is named Nathan Trivers. And he calls it, the pub is a public house and a community-based place where people gather. Again, you know, it might be nitpicking terms. But again, I love the idea of wanting to create and be able to build within a niche that you have as a sport and commercialize it in a format that can be digestible for people. Again, shout out to my guys over at the Rugby Pub in New Orleans. Again, North America's first rugby pub, especially in San Francisco. Iffy, but still, shout out to them. But apparently, you know, he's a guy who's Nathan Trivers is a former player. He said competed all over the world. Only made it to semi-professional, which is fine. Whenever you've competed across the world, like, you know what? Sometimes, like, the getting paid isn't necessary, but getting the experience. And knowing that a lot of the times you played against a lot of the same guys in some way, shape, or form. So it still kind of counts. But he created this pub in 2010. It has been apparently a central point for a lot of rugby in San Francisco. So shout out to my San Franciscans who know about this place and live it up all the way through. But, you know, again, there's not really much to say on it. I just wanted to give some props over to them for creating this and being able to get a nice little article out of this in the San Francisco Gate. So, yeah, shout out to them, man. Shout out to them. And then lastly, an initiative that USA Rugby, I'm sorry, that World Rugby put together for Earth Day, known as Rugby for Nature. All right. And if you know, Earth Day was Monday, I believe, so I can date this correctly, Monday the 22nd. And it's, you know, a chance to be able to celebrate the Earth and, you know, be able to work on building up, what do we call it? You know, more eco-friendly behaviors. You know, World Rugby wanted to jump in on this, as most companies do. And they put their initiative to be able to show how to be able to be more biodiverse and still be able to do rugby. And they created basically a explanation on how rugby can be used to raise awareness. They have a little poster that they created to help you know, do the nature squad for everybody. So all right, so I'm gonna go ahead and take a look at and show you guys this. It's unique, to say the least. But it's not bad. I think it's, like I said, I'm always here for the good ideas that are being presented out for this. All right. So, all right, there. So one of the things that they said is joining the Rugby for Nature squad. All right. So regardless of wherever it is you pitch, there's a framework, and they made a 10-point game plan for rugby and nature. All right. So phase one, they call it the try. All right. Get over the goal line. 5 actions that everyone can drive for to get their first 5 points on the board and set up for success. Number one is build your nature squad. Number two, understand your starting position. Number three, draft and share your game plan. Number four, be mindful of nature on and off the field of play. And number five, give nature a home. One thing I always like when it comes to this, reminds me, is because with my team, Curitiba Rugby Club, we always have these birds that have nests all over the place. It always interests me because, you know, we always have to make sure that we are avoiding to hit them, because they're kind of just in spots that are not convenient around the field, but like it's their home. So you watch a way to be able to get around it. So this reminds me of giving, be mindful of nature on and off the pitch. Number two, phase two for them is the conversion. With the first 5 points on the board, it's time to aim for the post and extend your lead with extra 2 points from 2 actions, focusing on food and sourcing. Make healthy food choices for mind, body, and nature. Number 6, which is make healthy food choices. And number 7, get suppliers and partners on side, which is, you know, okay, you know, nice. It's a nice little nature phase for this. Phase 3, and I believe is the final phase of this, is the drop goal. Maximum effort, but with 3 final points for grabs. Knock it over the bar and out the park to make 10-point game and secure the win for nature. Number 8, make some noise to rally the crowd. I don't know if nature actually cares for that. I think noise pollution is still a problem. Number 9, lift the trophy together. And number 10, raise the bar. Okay, so, you know, if you want to be able to understand that. And then they have one last initiative on here, I believe. One last initiative on here, which is 5 R's to support Rugby for Nature, all right? And the 5 R's are refrain from doing any harm to nature, recognize your impact and scope of influence, reduce waste, especially plastics and consumption that can negatively impact nature, restore spaces, places for nature, and including habitats for plants and wildlife to thrive and survive, and finally, report and share your ambition, objectives, activities, successes, and challenges. So World Rugby wants you to know that you guys can be part of the nature procedural to make sure that you are able to keep nature well utilizing rugby. What can I say to that? I love it. Gotta love a good mission grab. And, you know, hey, for those who don't know, Yeah, absolutely. Definitely check it out. And you can go to apparently for more information, www.world.rugby/sustainability. And for to learn how your organization can become a signatory and support action for nature. Let me put this right back up again. You absolutely can go to email supportsfornature at IUCN.org or find them on Instagram at sportsfornature or Twitter or X at sportsfornature and LinkedIn sportsfornature. That's on LinkedIn. It's the number four, sports number four, nature, and X sports number four, nature. So if your club wants to be a part of it, yo, jump in, man. That's good. Let's get into nature hike and get it done and really, you know, find ways to change the world in the best way possible. I'm a big believer. My ecological self. So, all right, y'all. We got one more commercial. We're going to be back with some final words and then let you guys go.
Don't you love a great ketogenic family? My name is Gifte Bailu. I'm here with Health Enhanced Food. I wanted to talk to you about one of our top baking mixes, and that is our ketogenic baking mixes. We got a ketogenic seed baking mix, our ketogenic almond baking mix, and of course, our ketogenic coconut baking mix. Now, what is so important about it being ketogenic? Now, for those who don't know, ketogenic means that it is utilizing low carbs to be able to eat from. The point of it is so that your body will naturally activate burning from your fat and be able to sustain off your proteins rather than feeding your body carbohydrates and your body simply burning that and you just don't lose weight. And so whenever you're doing that process, it's incredibly difficult. And of course, you're always going to have a craving for wanting to eat the breads and the carbs that you typically would have. With our keto baking mixes, you can have the pancakes, the waffles, the cookies, the cakes, the pizza crust that you absolutely desire without sacrificing the work, your diet, and obviously the results that you are trying to get. All our ketogenic baking mixes are gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and absolutely loaded with natural vitamins and minerals. We want to make sure that they are low net carb, they have no added sugar, they are protein-rich, they have good healthy fats, but even more importantly, they have a low glycemic level. So for those who are diabetic and you're also still trying to find something, we have the baking mixes that are for you. And I'm sure you're wondering, why make three versions of them if they all are basically doing the same thing? Well, we wanted to make sure, as always, that we are trying to specialize to your dietary need. So with our ketogenic coconut, we wanted to give you a version that allows you to have a sweeter bread without sacrificing your diet, but it provides you things that you can make with your cakes, you can make your cookies, but you can be able to not have to lose your mind trying to find things that can satiate the taste without ruining your diet. With our ketogenic almond baking mix, that is one that has probably the highest protein content. It allows you to be able to control your blood sugar levels, reduce your blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, and of course, goes to promoting weight loss and being able to control the hunger. And for a ketogenic seed, this is for those who have a nut allergy and they can't take anything like the almonds. So we want to give them still the same thing. You can still make your bread. You can still make your pizza crust. You can still make your cakes and your buns and your muffins. But you don't have to worry about having an allergic reaction. You definitely can go check out the ketogenic line of products at healthenhancedfoods.com. Go ahead, keep up with your diet, get the foods that are necessary to keep you going, and let's get the results that you absolutely deserve. Let's go!
All right, y'all. All right, we come to that part of the show where we are coming to our end. Y'all, I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time. Thank you for the patience. Thank you for being able to be part of the discussion. You know, we had a lot of great responses to our stories with Louis Rezaman, and I'm going to respond to all of those. I wasn't really able to get to it during this show at this moment. But I really do thank you guys for continuing to add on, to subscribe, to be able to be following this, and of course, for sharing it and telling your friends more and more about it. Continue following what we do. Check out some of our other episodes, definitely some of our past conversations. We've had Wendy Young with Your Scrum Half Connection. We had Catherine Aversano, who is now currently the vice president of the Women's Elite Rugby. We've had Blaine Scully, a former captain for the USA Rugby Eagles. We've had Nia Tapper. We got Lance Kavanaugh of Great American Rugby. Ryan Ginty of Next Level Rugby, who does all the productions for National Collegiate Rugby. We didn't get the chance to even talk about what was going on. But, you know, any stories we don't get through here, we'll throw off on our social media as well. So just stay tuned with any of that. I definitely appreciate you all for being able to be a part of this. And, I thank you so much. But in the meantime, I hope that you guys know that I hope that you are happy. I hope that you are healthy. And most significantly, I hope that you know that you are truly highly favored. Until next time, y'all. Cheers.